Midlands derby finishes all square, which doesn't really satisfy anyone. Vardy denied there by Bunn. Okazaki was following up to make it 1-0 before half-time because after Roger East had given a penalty, Mahrez had it saved by Bunn. Twice he's been denied in recent weeks. There was a way back, Rüdiger Stead off the bench with the equaliser. And that is how it finished, one apiece. Villa edging the attempts, 14 to Leicester's 12. Five on target, three of those in the second half. Leicester also with five on target, just one of those in the second half. Aston Villa edging possession as well, 56%, and 100 more passes than Leicester. In fact, more passes than they had in any game, bar one, this season, and more touches in the opposition area. But it is just 1 point each for Aston Villa and Leicester, and we can hear now from Danny Drinkwater and Rüdiger Stead with Jeff Shreeves.
Danny, Rudy first. Is a point each about right for the game, do you think?
I think we deserve better than a point. They've got one good chances, and we have few, but at the end of the game, it's just 1 point. So we're a bit disappointed. We know we have to win games now in the situation we are. So we take it, 1 point, still okay.
Danny, given that Leicester had a penalty save, do you think you should have had more out of it then?
I think first half we were a better team. Second half we tried hitting them more on the counter, I guess. I still think we deserve the 3 points, you know, but Villa have come out second half and they've shown a battle, so fair play to them.
Is it a case of the old glass half full and half empty with the point? It takes you top again.
Yeah, I mean, look where we are in the league, you know, it's a massive achievement already. To show the lads are disappointed with a draw at Villa is just the points that, you know, how far we've come this season. It's about, you know, picking ourselves up, dusting it off, looking towards the next game now and working on that 3 points.
Rudy, you got the goal. Could you have been blown up for handball, though?
No, I didn't feel it, you know. I was watching the goal already, so I don't know if it's a handball or not, but it's a goal.
It's a point, but does it keep the momentum going? Obviously, you wanted all 3 points. Does it keep the momentum from Tuesday going?
Yeah, I think so. Leicester is a good team. They are doing very well this season, so it's still a good momentum for us. Next game is going to be important for us. We have to win. So we have to keep this confidence and keep going.
Danny, is it the same for you? Keeping going, keep on doing what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. If we can stay around the top of the table until the end of the season, and you know we've achieved a massive goal set by the club early on in the season. So, I mean, yeah, keep going, keep knuckling down for the results, and then hopefully it'll come.
Wouldn't it be much tougher for you, do you think, second half of the season, having played the teams once, now they know about you?
Maybe. I mean, you know, if so, then it's about us reinventing ourselves and then helping us react differently to what teams come up against us.
And for you, what's it going to take to get out of this?
It's going to be tough in the end, but we've got no choice to fight and hopefully we're going to save the club and stay in the Premier League.
Well, it was a cracking game. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And Danny Drinkwater was given man of the match by both Jamie Redknapp and Tim Sherwood, the former Aston Villa manager, who we'll hear from in just a moment. Before then, delighted to say that Claudio Ranieri is ready to speak to us live now from Villa Park. Good evening to you, Claudio. What's your assessment of that game?
Good evening. I think we had the match on our hands and we lost 2 points. But that is football. It was a tough match. It was a local derby. And it's okay. In the first half, the Aston Villa were very, very nervous. And we start very well. We score a goal. We had the chance to close the match, but was unlucky. And the second half, they score a goal. It was a battle. It's okay. 1 point is okay.
Why do you think you lost your way then?
I don't know why we think we lost 2 points. Maybe Aston Villa were desperate, scored a goal. There was a handball. The referee didn't see. Was unlucky.
Claudio, Jamie Redknapp. How much did the game change for you second half when they brought on Rüdiger Stead to play alongside Kozak and they went a little bit more direct?
Yes, we waited their reaction, of course, and they want to put a long ball for Kozak, and we were very, very smart in the second ball. But after we conceded the goal, the striker touch the ball with the hand and control the ball. Against Tottenham, gave us a penalty, and today nobody watched the handball.
So that's, you think that should have been disallowed, Claudio?
No, I don't know, because we create another two chances with Jamie Vardy in the second half, and they create another chance with a long ball. But at the end, I think the draw is all right.
Is it a concern to you, Claudio, given this extraordinary season that you've been having, that it's now 1-5 and that Vardy and Mahrez have both not scored in those last five games? We're measuring you by high standards here.
Yes, but happen to the strikers. No, it's not possible every week the strikers score a goal. They score a lot. Now they maybe are to recover the energy. And Jimmy, for too many months, didn't train very well because he had a little problem. Now he's go back well. And then we restart to train, and sooner or later he restart to score a goal.
Who takes the next penalty then, Claudio?
Sorry?
Who takes the next penalty for you?
Who take? For me?
Yes. Not Mahrez?
Why no Mahrez? Ah, for the penalty. I don't know. I speak with him. It's no problem. For me, it's important. He recharge immediately the batteries. No, he was very, very sad at the end of the match.
Listen, as I said, Claudio, we are judging you now by high standards because you are again top of the Premier League tonight. What is the target, having got past the safety barrier? What are you looking for your players now?
But I know what we are doing is fantastic. It's fantastic. Nobody could imagine Leicester top of the league in January. You know, I said that the first half of the season we achieved 39 points. I said, okay, we are ambitious, we want to improve, and then it's important to try to get 40 points, 39 the first half, 40 in the second half. I know it's difficult, but that is our target now. We try.
We wish you well with it. Might just win you the title, that, Claudio. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you to you. Bye.
Thank you.
Is it right, Tim, that we are judging him and Leicester with these higher standards now because of how impressive they've been for the first part of the season?
I think, yes, right, because they're right in the mix. You know, they've got every opportunity to win the Premier League, you know, and certainly if they don't win it, then to finish in the top four is a realistic proposition for them. We just got to look how far they come, you know, from this time last year being bottom of the league to now being top of the English Premier League is a fantastic achievement for Claudio Ranieri and that group of players.
Why don't you think they were able to close it out today then, Jim?
I think what I mentioned there to Claudio, Villa changed their tactics a lot and they gave him a bit of a problem. They went direct, they brought on Gusted. Now, I spoke about a few weeks ago and we did the Newcastle game and I look at Rudy Gusted and Remy Gard thinks he's an impact sub, I don't know. But whenever I look at Villa when he plays, they look a better side to me. He gives you something different. He always looks like he's going to score. And maybe now, I can't work out what Villa are. What sort of team are they? Do they pass the ball? They play with one up, two wide first half. I saw nothing from them. Nothing excited me. If I was going to watch that, I'd be thinking, where's the entertainment value? At least second half, when they played with a two up front, they had a focal point. You look like something might happen. Yeah, we'll get a ball in the box. There's knockdowns. There's chances. And it might not be pretty. It might not be how he wants to play when he managed teams in France. But it's a case of needs must. And that might just be their way of getting out, staying up in the Premier League. I don't think they will, but at least there's something you can see there.
What is he for you, Tim, the man who signed him? Is he an impact player or should he be leading the attack for Aston Villa?
We got to judge him what's there at the moment. I mean, Gabby Agbonlahoro is a player who I would nurse to get fit as quickly as possible. For many, many years now, Gabby has kept this team in the Premier League along with Benteke, who's now left. I think Rudy Gusted is a player with one outstanding quality. He's got more, but one outstanding quality, which is a bully. He's a big threat. He's outstanding in the air. And he makes defenders scared. They pushed back. They went deeper and deeper. Morgan and Hoof knew they were in a game in that second half.
Is that what happened with the goal then?
I think it is.
Yeah, let's have a look at the goal. It's interesting because I tell you what we'll do. Let's do it two ways. Let's look at it first of all from is it a handball, that point of view.
Claudio
because
says yes.
Claudio thinks yes. I'm not sure. I don't think this is intentional. as the ball gets played into him here, I'm just trying to slow it down. I just think it's a really poor touch. And then it bobbles up, and then he hits it really well. I mean, we've got another good angle here. The touch is poor. It's not an easy ball to control. As he brings it down, is that intentional? I don't think so. I really don't. And you can see a couple of the players from Leicester don't react. Wes Morgan puts his arm up, Robert Hoof, and I don't think he just did enough. Once you know, you have to just play as you see it. But I just want to take it back.
Look
from
at those hands in the air, Jamie. There,
absolutely,
they're all
Robert
appealing.
Hoof. Yeah, they are, and I can see why. But just personally, from my point of view, but I want to look at it from Leicester's point of view. Now, could they have done a bit better? Man of the match today for Tim and I was Danny Drinkwater. I thought he was magnificent. It's an area that we both played, and that's midfield. As that ball gets played out now to Bakuna, I'm just run that just a little bit further. There, hold on. Just take that back. Yeah, about there. I just want to highlight Danny Drinkwater. If he were to get into a position, I would say probably just about here, just drop 2 yards. There is no way Bakuna can play that ball into him. I'm not sure if it was maybe just he was a little bit tired, Tim.
He's done it all game.
No, but what are you worried about Ayew for? He's the front man. Your job is to shuffle across. It's the hardest thing in the world. You've got to stop that ball into the front man. That's your first objective. Can you do that? And I actually think it's interesting, and I don't ask Tim, actually, because what's your stride pattern now that he knows? He's had a little bit of a panic up there. Do you think as a midfield player he perhaps could have done better, Tim?
Yeah. I think if he does it earlier, if he works across earlier, I think just if you go back to Albrighton, it's a ploy what they use. They look to show inside. Albrighton's body shape suggests that he's making it stop there.
Yeah,
James.
I can stop it.
He makes the play predictable. So he tells everyone the play is coming inside. So drink water.
Why does he do that, Tim?
So they know. The play's predictable. They know that the ball is coming in here. 9 times out of 10 today, Kante and Drinkwater have been in this little shield area in here, and they've stopped it. Mm. They've stopped them balls coming into the front man. When that's gone past him, his next point of call is to win it from the front of Gested. But Gested gets a little bit lucky, miscontrol, hoofs on top of him. I don't think it's a handball. I think it's one that's just bobbled up and hit him on the arm, and he finishes it very, very well.
But I think that's what I'm just saying, is going back to the source of the goal. You know, yes, is it handball, is it not? But I just think if Danny could have done a little bit more, it would have made all the difference, you know? And it was a really good piece of planning, and it completely changed the complexion of the game. Miller were then in the ascendancy, but Leicester still had chances to win this game. I could understand Claudio Ranieri, and I'm sure you speak to Remy Gardner, he'll say, no way, no handball. But I don't
show us those now, then, Jamie. Show us the chances that Leicester had.
Well, a couple second. It wasn't an abundance of chances. They weren't, you know, running and ragged. This is Danny Drinkwater's opportunity. I thought he was brilliant in midfield. I love the way he plays. He's 24, 25 years of age. His pass completion was brilliant. You know, and we speak about Jamie Vardy perhaps not being in the best moment. He was still heavily involved in everything that Leicester did well, wasn't he, Tim?
Absolutely. Yeah, that one you expect him just to dink it with the outside of his foot. I think Bunn does very well. I think the comeback for Villa
He's been scoring from here, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he drives that low normally. But I think Okoro does brilliantly.
Back to his mate there, Tim.
Okoro just nodges him, just gets his arm on him just as he's willing to strike it. I think the whole comeback started from Mark Bunn. The penalty saves is massive. With 2-0 down before half-time, the game is gone. You know, they have to believe they can get back in it, but the game would be gone against a very good Leicester side. But Mark Bunn makes that penalty save. The momentum changed.
Well, let's go through the goals. We've got 1-0 here. I mean, you spoke before about what an incredible weapon this is that Kasper Schmeichel has. He puts teams on the back foot with his long kick.
Well, Vardy knows exactly where it's coming. He knows he's going to be running towards the opposition goal from a goal kick. It should never happen. There's very few goalkeepers who can kick it that far. But Okazaki's reaction there is enormous.
Brilliant.
The way he just reacts to tap that one in.
Unbelievable. Just the reaction. Look at see Jolyon Lescott. He doesn't anticipate it. The little fella does. Definitely over the line, no doubt. But as you say, I think this was the moment, Tim. Let me get this right.
Penalty save.
Yeah. That I think you mentioned 2-0 up, game over. It really was. The linesman as well. The linesman was quick to give it this one. We'll just highlight him there as the ball comes in. There's the linesman. And you can see him there. He's got his flag up. And the referee at the moment hasn't actually indicated the penalty, but he does once he sees that. I don't think this is a penalty, Tim, but it gives you a great opportunity to go 2-0 up, doesn't it?
I think he's unsure whether to give it the first one on Okazaki, and then as he doesn't, 2 seconds later, Sissoko does brilliantly to get his body across. It's not a penalty. And I think justice was done there. But what a great save from...
Do you think he's lost a little bit of sparkle then, Riyad Mahrez?
On today's performance, you would, but they've done a lot of miles, these Leicester players. A lot of them had to carry... They haven't got a huge squad. You know, so, you know, when everyone looks like maybe the bubble is going to burst, it will only burst for one reason, because they're a little bit fatigued. There's a lot of games around Christmas coming in. Now they get a week to week. Obviously, they've got a cup replay. You know, they go in with a weakened side against Tottenham, and Tottenham go in with a weakened side, and they end up playing another game. You know, so it backfires on both teams, really.
It's hard to criticise him. He's been brilliant. Been magnificent, that little fella. Today he was off. You know, he just perhaps wasn't at that level that he's been performing. And maybe they manage him. They manage him this week, you know, maybe get a little bit of rest and almost give him a couple of days off if he can. When's the replay against Tottenham? I'm not sure. When, is it this week?
Tuesday, I think.
Tuesday. I mean, his games are coming thick and fast. But if I'll be amazed if he's in the team against Tottenham. I really will. I think he needs a little bit of a rest.
We will see. It finished one apiece between Aston Villa and Leicester. You've heard the Leicester reaction. We'll bring you more reaction when we return here on Saturday Night Football as Remy Gard gets a point. But will he feel that is enough for Aston Villa? Is there a way out?
Remy, you said to us before the game you were looking for the same collective spirit that you had in midweek. Is that what got you the point today, do you think?
I think so. Plus, good quality of play in the second half. First half, we were not at the same level that we went on Tuesday against Palace. But then second half was much better, and I was happy about that.
Why were you better in the second half?
Because I think we had a good reaction. We were behind on the score, behind the leader, and when you come back and to score goals, to draw against the leader, it's very positive for a bottom team table. Then I think we have done well. We were more aggressive, more positive, more attacking as well. I think if you look at the level of the game of both teams, I think there is not such a huge gap that you can see on the table.
The goal came and you looked even more attacking when you had two up top. Have you now got to make a decision about Rudy Gestede? Are you more of a threatening force when you have two up top, or is he better as an impact player?
I'm not sure to understand, but we played already with two forward players, with Libor and Jordan Ayew. And then I chose to play with Jordan Ayew like number 10 instead of Carles, and then to put Rudy, because I knew that it could be threatened to long balls. That's what happened. And then if you look at the game, I think we have not been very fortunate on some decision.
Do you think you should have had a penalty?
You have the question still? Are you sure you asked me the question? Have you seen the pictures?
Yes, I'd like your opinion.
Okay, but you have my opinion. Of course, there is a penalty. You know, I don't understand how the linesman can see the first penalty. Okay, but how cannot see the second one? I mean, I saw on the TV, it's just obvious for me and probably for everybody.
A point today, though, you're going to need more than that each game. You've got to keep it in perspective, as you said. That was the league leaders. But have you seen enough once again that you can get out of this?
You know, I have the feeling that if that team had played this kind of game since the beginning of the season, probably they won't be there today. Then I have the feeling that we've got 16 games to go to play, and I feel that we're still capable to do something.
What about reinforcements, new signings in this window at the moment? Anything on the horizon?
No, I'm not here now after the game to play. You know, I'm a bit more focused on what we just have done than signing now.
OK, one thing I must ask you, though. Julian Lescott has been linked with a move to LA Galaxy. Is he a player that you would let go, or would you want to keep him?
No, I don't know that for the moment. You know, no offer has come to my office yet. And then Julian is fully part of the team. He's the captain of the team. I rely on his experience. And as you see, he play every game. Then I don't think he will leave.
Remy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Keep your eye on those stories as ever on Sky Sports News HQ as they develop as we get nearer the February the 1st deadline. He thought he should have had a penalty, Tim. Fair to say your consensus in here was not different. Why do you think it was not given?
No idea. I think it is a penalty. I think he's right. I think it was two movements of Robert Huth's arm. We see it here. I think the one, he's entitled to put his arm up across Libor's face, but then the second movement there and then puts him down to the floor as a penalty, in my opinion. And they were very fortunate to get away with that.
Jamie, back that up?
I agree.
Yeah.
Tim summed it up perfectly. I thought it was definitely a penalty. But you could see the stress that they're under, sort of second half, Robert Huth and Wes Morgan. They found it extremely difficult.
Robert, who looked really tired, and that's the sort of thing you've got to manage your squad now for Leicester.
Let's have a look at the bottom of the table again and just remind you of the predicament that Aston Villa find themselves in. Plot a way out of this for us, Tim, if you can.
I think today's a good example of that anyone can beat anyone. Look how hard Villa pushed the league leaders. So you can go anywhere and win in this league. You have to keep believing that you can. You know, obviously, there's a big deficit there now, you know, and they've got to keep winning. They have to put back-to-back wins together, and that is what is key for them now.
I think this year you're going to need 39 points. The average has been 37. Yeah. Now, that suggests to me if they were to win 9 straight games, that would get them to 39. They've won 9 out of their last 56, Aston Villa. 9 games out of the last 56. So what suggests to me that they're going to win 9 out of the last 16? Nothing.
I think the manager will believe that he can get them out of it.
You've got to tell the players that, Tim. Yeah. They've got it all on, though, haven't they?
Well, when he took over, there's 28 games of the season left. You know, he would have been... You don't take the job if you don't believe that you can get the team out of trouble. So 28 games, an awful lot of games to get enough points to stay in the Premier League. And he will believe, Villa, the hierarchy, will believe he can do it. And the fans certainly will believe they can do it.
If the Aston Villa hierarchy believe they can do it, why do you think they haven't acted yet in the transfer market? In comparison to Bournemouth, who've already gone and bought 2 strikers, Newcastle have gone and spent £15 million on a couple of players as well.
It's never easy to go and buy someone in January, players who are going to improve them. You know, they obviously are in a bad position in the league. They've got to be able to attract the players to come in. So I can't really answer that question. I'm sure they're working very, very hard in the background to try and bring some players into the
Is there a process that's ongoing, though, when you talk about Aston Villa, that's different to other clubs that might be more complicated and take longer to do business?
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty similar to how most clubs operate. You obviously have a list of targets who you're wanting to bring into the club and you try your best to bring them in.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Pleasure.
Hope to see you back working again soon. Jamie, thank you as well. And just time to remind you that coming your way tomorrow are 2 fantastic games, Liverpool-Manchester United from 1 and Stoke Arsenal from 4 o'clock. Arsenal with a chance to go back on top above Leicester and Manchester City. Monday Night Football, Swansea-Watford with Brendan Rodgers alongside Jamie Carragher.